This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Hello, everybody. Josh here. This is, I'm hoping to go for the wild card again tonight. I didn't think I was going to get in there for a second. I was having problems connecting. Hopefully, everybody can hear me nice and clear. So I'm just going to start off by checking a couple different things. Just going to check with Kyle here, make sure he can hear me. I'll have to bear with me here just for a minute because I don't know what's going on. I'm just having issues. It's like the computer really just does not want me to host the show. Maybe if somebody wanted to call in, that would be great. And then you could tell me if it's working. But anyways, so we got a lot of different stuff going on in the media right now. I didn't really find anything too exciting today, but really what I thought was pretty crazy is that I mentioned it before, that ISIS flag that they were flying in Dearborn, Michigan. I don't know if anyone's seen that. It's pretty off the wall, insane. Just looking in the news here, trying to see what I can find. Oh, I accidentally hung up on Kyle. Sorry, guys. You're just gonna have to bear with me for the first couple minutes here. I'm just getting used to all this different stuff. But yeah, apparently they were marching in the streets. Oh, here someone's calling in.
Yeah, who am I speaking to?
Josh. Seth. It's
Seth. Well, how you doing?
Josh is my name, but I'm going by Seth the Nemesis. I think I like it a little bit more. The Egyptian god Seth. He's pretty good guy. So, anyways, what's up? How's it going?
Oh yeah, pretty good. How's it going with you?
Oh, all right. Just trying to get this all figured out. I don't know what's the issue here with the connection, but it's. Can you hear me pretty good or no?
I can hear you pretty good. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you all right. So, but
good.
Yeah, you're the gentleman that called in on Monday, correct?
I called in on Monday. Yeah. Yeah. Set. Yeah. So
yeah,
you guys are.
So,
I guess you guys have there's no one scheduled a couple nights a week, so it's a wild card, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to do my best to fill in this time slot, but like I was mentioned before, you know, I'm just getting new to all this, and for some reason, it just, like, my computer will be running, you know, great and perfect, and then all of a sudden, as soon as I go to connect to this thing, it just does not want to work. It's the weirdest thing, but did you see that in Dearborn, Michigan, that they were flying the ISIS flag? Did you see that?
Well, see, that whole ISIS thing, I mean, that's just as funny as a $3 bill. I mean, that was certainly, I mean, the CIA, the Mossad, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all phony, you know what I mean? That the whole ISIS thing the thing is, people are so brainwashed. They actually believe that there's this entity called ISIS, you know, that's actually, of course, they are a terrorist organization. But, I mean, all these groups were created basically by the CIA. Look at the Mujahideen. I mean, they used bin Laden in Afghanistan against the Soviet Union. See, the thing is, these stable Muslim states that are not radical, the United States wants to bring them down, you know, like with Iraq, and they want to bring Syria down. But they support the radical elements of Islam.
Right.
And so, like, when the chickens come home to roost, you know, they, oh, my God, you know. But actually, that's where they want it, see, because they want to, I mean, the whole thing is to disrupt all these countries for the sake of Israel, so Israel can be the most powerful country in the Middle East. That's the whole thing in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, it's weird when you talk to, like, I see someone else is calling in there. Sorry, you're going to have to hold. This gentleman just got on. But anyways, you know, it's just, it's weird how when you talk to the average person and try to explain to them that actually, you know, NATO, the United States, Canada, Australia, their effort in the Middle East is actually really causing terrorism. Not because,
right.
if you think about it, the terrorism itself was really a phenomenon that didn't really exist before we went in. Like, sure, you know, there would be the odd terrorist attack that would happen. But I mean, as of now, I mean, it's more real than it ever was before. And when you go into these Middle Eastern countries and you destabilize them, and victimize people, you're essentially creating terrorism. So I don't know why people have such a hard time wrapping their mind around that, but
Listen to Fox News and all this other stuff. But I mean, the whole thing is that, like you say, before the United States started messing around in the Middle East, these Islamic countries had no beef with the United States. They had no problems. And I mean, I would say probably 90% of the governments in the Middle East, the Islamic countries, are not radical Islam. You know, they just want to live and let live. But there's always going to be this small radical element. And the United States supports these elements. You see, like I say, well, the main thing, I think the first time they did was in the Soviet Union. I mean, they wanted to destroy it because the Soviet Union was trying to create a socialist government in Afghanistan. Of course, they didn't want that. And then I guess they created like a Frankenstein monster that got out of hand. But I mean, the thing is, I don't understand, of course, I guess I do, but I mean, why can't we just leave well enough alone? Take care of our, like a normal country, take care of our own people. The army of a country is to defend its own borders. I mean, we have bases in, 150 countries all over the world. We're the only country that does that, for God's sakes, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird thing that's going on. I have a hard time wrapping my mind around it. But can you hear me? Am I a little bit louder now if I hold that mic right near my mouth?
Yeah, you're a little bit. Actually, if you get a little bit louder, it'd be good. But I can't hear you. You know, it could be a little bit louder.
Yeah, I don't know what's
volume up.
It's the weirdest thing. Like I have it connected and I have it essentially pretty close to my mouth, and for some reason it just doesn't seem to be working.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can still hear you. You know, it's okay. But so what do you think about that? Would you think that's probably the way it is? I mean, because I just don't really see that there is really a problem. I mean, I'm a pagan. I don't believe in any monotheistic religion. I think Hitler said that the Islam is actually better than Christianity for the Aryan race. I don't know. I mean, that's what he said, I think, in Table Talks. Have you ever read that? If we can believe if that's authentic or not, you know. But he did say that.
I don't know. That's a little bit of a stretch of the imagination.
Well, I mean, the Mufti supported Hitler, and I think Saddam Hussein, I think his ideas were I think the Ba'athist Party took a lot of its ideas from National Socialism, from what I understand.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean, there is a certain element of National Socialism within, I think, these Islamic socialist movements. But of course, like you say, the problem is when they inject this Islamic religion into it. You know, I mean, I think actually the Middle East was much better off when they were Zoroastrian, you know, when they were pagans. But then again, you know.
Yeah, it's funny when you see these people who try to say that Islam is a religion of peace. You ever hear people say that?
Well, yeah, I've heard him say that, but I mean, look at the wars. I mean, Christianity is supposed to be a religion of peace too, but look at all the wars we fought in the name of Christianity. So, you know, I mean, you can take. I mean, I think that I've never read a lot of I've never really read the Quran or anything like that. But I've what I've heard of, I'm not that crazy about it. But again, I think that I look at it like this: all of these Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and they posit a totally male god. They don't have the female element. Whereas in your pagan religion, you always had the god and the goddess. So where you have the yin, you have to have the yang. Where you have the male god, you must have the female goddess for balance. And I think that's the thing that these monotheistic Abrahamic religions lack.
Yeah, I know. The only reason why I said that is because I just think it's so comical when people try to say Islam is a religion of peace, and we know that Islam isn't a religion of peace. I mean, sure, you know, you could be a Muslim and be a good Muslim, but I mean, these people who are in Britain and in England right now are essentially who are representing the Muslims are saying, no, don't listen to what your own politicians are saying. We are not a religion of peace. You know what I mean? They want essentially a caliphate. You know, I'm not trying to spread hatred or anything of that of Muslims, but I mean, people need to realize that. I mean, their culture is a lot different than ours. So this, you know, pretending that they're going to assimilate and become like Westerners, I mean, is the farthest thing from the truth.
Oh, right. That's true. We see, well, the thing is, nature abhors a vacuum. And the Muslims are having kids, like the white people in Europe and are not having kids like they used to. Like, I mean, when I was a kid back in the 50s, the average white woman would have 3 or 4 kids. Now it's the Muslims are having kids. So for some reason we stopped having kids, and that void is going to be filled up with other races that are prolific, you know, that do reproduce. You see, that is the problem right there. We need to get our birth rate up, you know, and see, they're doing it. And, you know, you can't blame for that, because, I mean, it's the law of nature is survival of the fittest. Is this not correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's what I'm saying. If we could get our birth rate up, and then also see another thing about Islam, it's a fanatical religion. I mean, they have a belief, so they die for it. What do we have? I mean, capitalism, consumer capitalism. Are we going to die so we can shop at Walmart? You know, I mean, I think that's the problem with.
Well, It's funny you say that, because, I mean, you know, like, you see the way people act on Black Friday and stuff like that, and it's insane, right?
Well, yeah, it is insane, because we have got so materialistic that the only thing that matters to us is material goods. You see, we've lost our spiritual values. I mean, I can see even in my own lifetime, you know, and that it's gotten in that way. But I think things are changing. With the internet, there's a lot of people who are waking up, and we have all these, you know, people are more like into organic foods now, into natural health and things like that. So, I mean, people are waking up, and they're understanding more and more, I think, the Jewish problem and everything. So, and again, I'm not advocating hatred against anybody. We should not.
No, me neither.
No, we don't. It's everything. We need to love, because that's what life is all about, okay? But we can resist. See, we can resist the enemy. We can resist them by listening to our own
enemy. See, what really bothers me is the fact that they're like, any time that the white people try to actually identify as their own body, or have a discussion about immigration, or have a discussion about, you know, the effect of third world immigration into our country, we're just immediately labeled extreme. I mean, the libertarians who are supposed to be, you know, for liberty are even saying that we should bring in all this third world immigration and stuff like that. It should be forced upon us. And it's just, at what point are white people going to be able just to have a discussion without the fear of persecution? You know, it's just, I mean, the traitors or the people, the politicians we have in position right now are essentially traitors. They do not care. And then when you say something like the truth, like, these politicians are, you know, lobbied by, you know, Israel, essentially, you know, then you're anti-Semitic. I mean, it's just you can't dance around this topic. It's impossible.
No, I know exactly what you mean, Judge. See, the thing is, I've been in this movement for about 20 years. I've tried to wake up white people. I try to talk to them. I try to tell them we need to stand for it. And they'll say, yeah, I guess. But then they'll go back, because they're not in. We're too individualistic as a race. We don't think in terms of the group like other races do. We're the only race that doesn't, you see. But so that is our problem. Unless we can somehow develop a collective consciousness, we're going to go under. You know, that's the bottom line. And maybe we need a little bit of non-white bloodiness. Maybe that's our problem. Maybe, because I know it's like, you say, like, okay,
well,
like, insane Brazilians.
It's funny. if you start saying that, people will get upset saying that you're promoting race mixing. No, I hear you.
Let me explain. In Brazil, the whites are essentially on the top, you know, and a lot of them are mixed, okay? They're mixed with a little bit of maybe Negro, a little bit of Indian blood. But nevertheless, they're at the top, and they're racially conscious, you see. So
yeah.
I'm not saying that. I don't know.
You can't justify it. There's no justifying it. Bottom line is, we've been burdened with, you know, the dilution of our race for long enough, you know,
Look at Sweden, look at Scandinavia, these blonde, blue-eyed Nordics. Well, I mean, they're the most liberal and the most people, most advocating race mixing in the world. So that's a weakness. Maybe it's a genetic weakness that we have, the Nordic race. I don't know, because I mean I'm mostly Nordic myself, and before I was aware of I was very much a liberal and into race mix. I mean I didn't, but I mean I would have advocated. But I mean what I'm saying is often I have noticed that some of the best advocates of white nationalism are those who are a little bit mixed, just a little bit. I'm not saying I know everything about it, but I'm saying we have to explore all different possibilities. You know, we can't just say, you know.
No, I understand what you're saying. Like, I literally do. And it's funny you say that because, I've seen different groups together, and you'll see people, that are essentially – they're not, you can tell that they're not white, and you know, we have white people that are whiter than them and they don't even identify as white. And you're right. I mean, you know, they really want to, I said this in one of my videos, I said, you know, white people need to wrap their minds around, you know, the fact that there's a lot of non-whites rallying behind whites. I mean, there is to some degree an obsession about the white race. I mean, but anyways, you know what, brother, I got to let you go. You can call back in a bit here. I would appreciate it. I'm just going to take a couple more callers.
Okay. Well, hey, it was nice talking with you, Josh. You take care, man. Keep up the good work, okay?
All right, pal. Call back later.
Will do. Okay, thanks.
I don't know here, guys. I'm having problems trying to connect people and stuff like that. So I'm gonna have to keep you guys entertain here for a second while I figure out why my browser's not responding. So we have Trump saying about that he wants to ban all Muslims from entering the country. I'm curious on why he's being allowed to say these things. I mean, is it he just allowed to say these things that are extremely over the top for a certain reason? I don't know. I really don't know, because a lot of people subconsciously want things like that. But at the same time, I don't know if that's realistic. I mean, I don't know. I mean, in theory, there's a lot of white people that, you know, want essentially no immigration and try to control what we have right now, the amount of people we have. And there's this idea of the Northwestern Front. It's really, hello, are you there? Caller, are you there?
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm talking to you, brother.
I'm just listening in, bro.
Oh, okay. All right. How's my mic? I need to know, is it better now, or is it still pretty low?
Yeah, it sounds good, man. Good and clear.
All right. Cheers, brother. Have a good one.
You too.
All right, guys. So, sometimes I question these motives when, you know, Trump's allowed to say things that are extremely over the top. If he's trying to kind of spark some kind of nationalism, because someone brought up this point on Monday that, you know, they could be essentially trying to run this clash of the civilizations. And I mean, theoretically, if, you know, we use terms like white genocide, or I like to say systematic depopulation, even though it is white genocide, I mean, systematic depopulation, I think white people can kind of wrap their mind around that with the phenomenon of low birth rates. Well, it's not a phenomenon. It's just by choice. I don't know why people aren't having enough babies, but with low birth rates and then, you know, forced mass migration into our countries, then, you know, it's, and then, you know, they push like homosexuality. That doesn't mean I'm attacking you if you're gay, but I mean, they push homosexuality in, in our media and try to make that part of our culture. I mean, it's just one thing after another. And we can look no farther than, you know, we all know what country has amazing borders and, you know, some of the strictest, you know, laws when it comes to immigration and walls around its whole country. I mean, no one bats an eye, no one says anything. So it's like, now that they've brought all these people into our countries, are they going for some kind of clash of the civilizations? It's hard to say. I think that theoretically, they would be doing something like that. But to have some kind of resistance, because I mean, white people as they are right now, a majority of them are pretty docile and ineffective. And, I'd say 40%. I don't know how people are in America, but there's a lot of, obesity here in Canada, a lot of white people that are out of shape, a lot of white people that probably couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper bag. So, I mean, nationalism in theory, you would need to allow it to get going again. And from what I'm hearing from people is that they're allowing a lot of the things to be said that people weren't allowing to say before, like, for instance, on a YouTube channel or banning websites or different ways of censoring free speech when it comes to nationalism. They were just, calling it racist or hate speech and just taking it down, where now it seems like we're being allowed to do more. And in theory, like I'm saying, for a clash of the civilization scenario, that you would want this, because, either they're going to blend us out of existence, all these third world people, and there'll be pockets of white people all throughout, the United States, Canada, Australia, over the next, I would say it would be about 100 years from now, you just have pockets outside old areas of white flight that there's still, pockets of white people around, very few whites in the city. I know people that live in Phoenix, for instance, where, they tell me that downtown Phoenix, it's odd to see another white person. When they see another white person, it's like, oh my God, like they're so excited to see each other. Like, it's like Last of the Mohicans or something. But yeah, so if there is some kind of hatred between, two people, then essentially you're going to see disputes take place. It's like when they these two people that went and did this mass shooting in California, in San Bernardino or whatever it's called. I mean, there was the leftists that were, like Cenk Uric and stuff like that from the Young Turds. He's essentially saying, we need to, do all these different things to white people. We need to monitor churches. I can't remember exactly. I don't want to quote him because I can't remember exactly what he says, but he was jumping the gun on, here's an example. White people are extreme. White people are a lot of the reason for domestic terrorism, so on and so forth. And then when he found out that it was a Muslim, he was just so upset because now his narrative of attacking whitey is gone and there's nothing he can do about it. So for that next broadcast and the next day, I mean, he was visibly upset because he couldn't go on about how evil and how he couldn't demonize white people anymore. So this is essentially what we're dealing with. And I can't remember what my point was going to be. But, and then so when the left found out that it was Muslims, I mean, they started talking about, I don't know what it was, like something like Dean, this porn star who apparently raped these girls or whatever like that. That's what they go. They go over to this new thing, and then, they have to go back to it because it's so big in the news and it's so important. So essentially they go back to it, and when they go back to it, they're like, yeah, the reason why these Muslims did it is because, Christmas offends them, and Buddy's seen a Christmas tree, and white people need to, start, having their culture disintegrated, like the culture we have, which is Christmas and Easter, and I don't know what else, the average, brainwashed person considers culture, but, all white people, a majority of them, love Christmas. I love Christmas. You probably love Christmas. And so when you try to tell me I got to take down my Christmas tree, or someone's got to take down the Christmas tree, don't fucking tell me you're going to take my Christmas away, right? Like, that's insane. And so they must be going for this. They're antagonizing whitey. They're trying to get aggression from white people. I can't come to any other logical explanation that this is essentially what they're trying to do. So it's hard to say. And now we have the flood into Europe. I mean, conservative estimates of how many people are refugees, they're calling them. Who do we even know what they label as a refugee? But anyways, all these people that have flooded into Europe, their conservative estimate is 1.5 million. And I mean, we know how governments lie. They say one thing or do another. They cook the books on you know, unemployment numbers. They cook the books on debt. They never tell us the truth. So, I mean, if they are telling us it's 1.5 million people that have flooded into Europe, I mean, how much is it really? So that's my question. And I've heard numbers as high as a million in Germany alone. So these people are now then allowing to have their families come in. And so at what point is, you know, Europe going to be demographically changed forever? You know, the white continent, the European continent, where our ancestors originate from, where our genetics originate from. You know, it's just a sad thing. And I think once white people start to identify again as a white body, as a white consciousness, as a, you know, a sovereign entity, then or not a sovereign entity, but just an entity, then, you know, we're going to have a hard time getting the average person to get away from the football game or get away from the hockey game. But it's just, you know, I don't know. I don't really know what to do because, once again, the materialism and the media is dominate so much that white people can't really break away from it. I wish they could, you know, but to them being a model or, you know, who know, like, you know, having the newest iPhone or, you know, the newest truck or whatever, you know, this stuff means so much more to them than learning the real history of our people and learning the real history of World War II, you know, learning about the pagan gods and, you know, different struggles of, you know, the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire and just different things like that. You think the average person would be, you know, inclined or want to know more about, but I mean, they don't care. They truly in their hearts don't care. And I guess that could be, you could blame it on the fluoride in the water or the genetically modified organisms or the vaccinations. It's up for debate what's actually causing that. But I don't know what it's going to take to get white people to start looking out for their best interests. I want to pull up the news right now, guys, and start reading some of the news, but I'm literally afraid that if I click anything else on my computer that it's just going to, you won't be able to hear me and it won't be responding. So instead of doing that, I will just keep talking. But actually, I can pull it up on my cell phone. Dum, dum, dum. Using your brain. I'm trying to think. There's really been some good podcasts. I don't know if you guys ever listened to some of the different websites that are out there that have stuff that that concerns Europeans, concerns white Westerners, stuff like that. But a couple of them that I listen to would be like Red Ice Creations. I listen to White Rabbit Radio. I listen to, you know, David Duke's daily podcast. I'm sure everyone listens to David Duke. I mean, he's the best. But yeah, there's gotta be more. I think more white people, someone sent me a link, just yesterday and it was my buddy from Twitter, Asgardian. He called into this one show and he was just killing it, just laying fact after fact about, you know, young white people being a lot more nationalistic. And I think that's happening by design. You know, a lot of white kids, I mean, are some of the smartest, but it's sad because, you know, they're some of the most confused. Now, he wasn't directly talking about young kids. He was talking about, you know, people who are in their young adults or teenagers and stuff like that. But what I was saying is some of the kids now that are real young because of the technology and just how everything's evolving so fast, these kids grow up, they're going to be some of the smartest, but they're going to be some of the most confused, you know, how they're blending boy and girl and trying to get rid of the genders and, you know, allowing, you know, sex changes for free, the government sponsored sex changes. I mean, that shit's crazy. I mean, like, how as white people did we allow this to happen? I mean, at what point, you know, are people going to say enough? You know, you're not going to vaccinate my children forcibly. You're not going to, you know, try to, you know, make the kids all use one bathroom or whatever. There's a homeschooling, when they're trying to make homeschooling illegal or saying that you can't grow your own garden and stuff like this. I mean, at some point, people are just going to get upset and they're going to say enough. But I've been surprised how much white people have allowed themselves to be dominated. I mean, some great man said there's nothing to fear than fear itself. And I think that's truly what it comes down to, is white people are just scared in general, just a, you know, say something, to speak up. Nobody wants to be the first one to do it. You know, no one wants to be the first one to come out of the tool shed. It's a sad sight, but I think we're getting places. And that's what I said, like earlier, I'm worried if this is all being done by design, you know. There really does seem like there's more people in the workplace, more people on the streets, more people, you know, when you go out for a drink, that are just discussing race. It seems to be an extremely hot topic right now. I'm not 100% reason. I don't know the 100% reason why of that is, but it definitely seems like it's on the consciousness of people. And who knows? I mean, maybe all of a sudden there will be something organic that comes to the surface. Like, I don't know what it would be if something ended up coming into existence that we could use. Because I always say the political system that we have right now is really, it's not something that we could even, you know, try to, I guess in theory you could have, like in France here, they have this, the majority political party is this far right Le Pen. I don't know if that's her daughter. Is that Le Pen and her daughter? I'm not 100% sure, but it almost looks like it could be her daughter. But anyways, they've come in to be the majority political group in France right now, and they're calling them far right. And I just think it's very interesting that either, you know, they're controlled opposition, which I don't want to jump on that bandwagon right away, but sometimes I have a hard time believing that any group that's, you know, becoming popular and gaining votes is organic. But they very well could be. It's just interesting. You know, someone was saying when they called in on Monday that there's a lot of these political leaders on the right that were very successful, and they started, you know, slipping and falling in their bathtubs and getting into car accidents and stuff. And that stuff's not happening anymore. So clearly they're allowing us to speak freely now, and without being paranoid, I guess that's a good thing. I'm loading this up on my cell phone. Trump's Muslim bashing only wins him votes, says the polls. The more controversial Donald Trump gets, the more popular he becomes. Yeah, no shit, because the people want to see someone who's red-blooded. So people want to see someone who's got no filter. People want to see someone who doesn't give a fuck. And that's what this is. You know, Donald Trump is essentially just doing what everyone wants, and the people love it. They've been dying for this. They hate this this no personality politician that we've had for so long. I mean, even in Canada, I mean, Trudeau is just a little bit different than the average politician because he's got a little bit of charisma, you know. But Donald Trump's got a whole fucking boatload of it. Pardon my language. I'm getting excited. I'm starting to swear. But yeah, you know, it's nice to see, and that's why he's winning the polls. But I wonder how much of this is just staged, you know, like, are they really going to let this guy get into power? Well, I don't know. I mean, it's up for debate. I find it now kind of like there's a good chance. After I seen Donald Trump on the Alex Jones show, I mean, it seems like Donald Trump could be, you know, allowed to be this organic guy because he's going to continue the neo-Cohen agenda and the project for the new American century. You know, where in 2000 they said they would need a new Pearl Harbor type of event that would, you know, bring the American into the Middle East, starting with a war in Iraq, going into Libya, and then Syria and Sudan, and then finally ending off with Iran. And that's essentially what Donald Trump was saying. When he was with Alex Jones, he was saying that, oh, you know, Obama's soft on Iran and the Iranians are, you know, taking the oil fields in Iraq, and, you know, those, we stole those. No, he didn't say stole, but he's essentially saying we took those. Those are our oil fields. Like, we got to deal with Iran. And that rhetoric's got to be, you got to be careful when people are talking like that, because that's Neo Cohen kind of talk when they're like, you know, remember how Bush was. I mean, people say Bush was stupid. I don't think Bush was stupid. Sorry, I'm digressing away from Donald Trump. But people always say that, you know, Bush is a stupid guy. I don't think Bush was stupid at all. I think what he was doing is it was like the ultimate, like, joke, the ultimate laugh in your face, like being able to say stupid things and kind of, you know, get away with some of just the comments that George Bush Jr. would say. I mean, like, there's the compilation on YouTube you can watch, and it's just like 10 or 15 of his most like ridiculous moments. And a lot of that just seems like he's just saying it just to prove how stupid America is. Because imagine if you had like the ultimate reality show where you were just, you had a president that was like, what can we let this guy say? And we'll literally watch all the Americans stand up and cheer. And that's what it was essentially. Like, it reminds me of that scene from Borat when Borat goes into the Republican Party and he gets up in front of all the people and he starts saying like the outrageous comments of like, I don't even want to repeat it. They're so outrageous. Anyways. Oh man. Okay. So 2/3 of Republican primary voters agree with the idea, according to a Purple Strategies pulse poll. I have no fucking idea what that is. An online survey conducted overnight Tuesday, for Bloomberg, the poll of 606 respondents has a margin error of 4 percentage points. Yeah. See, I mean, that doesn't really mean anything. See what else is in the news here, guys. Oh, in my country, court rules clear ways for Quebec's assisted dying law to come into effect. Yeah, sure. They want to do this thing, assisted dying. Like, oh, I'm so depressed. I want the doctors to legally dispose of me. I mean, another way of just the depopulation agenda. I mean, that's crazy. Like, I mean, to a certain degree, I can understand in some extreme examples. But, you know, I listened to the Young Turks talk about this. The only reason why I listen to Young Turks is because I got to hear, like, the liberal pit of just disgustingness that they are and the comments that they say. And, you know, the one guy's on there and he's trying to talk about how people with, like, depression should be able to take their own lives. And I'm like, how can this guy look in the camera and say things like that? Like, that is so over the top. You know, but I don't know. Same thing when they're talking about forcefully vaccinating kids in California, whatever that bill is. I can't remember what the number off the top of my head is, but, you know, they're saying that you should be able to or you should not have the right to say no under religious or fundamental reasons. You know, you shouldn't be able to stop the government from coming and taking your kids if, you know, you don't vaccinate them, and then the government forcefully vaccinates. It's like, I can't believe that, you know, they look into the camera and honestly believe that in their hearts. Like, I mean, that's just to me, because there's all kinds of kids. Like, we have them here in Canada, Mennonites, which white people, they're actually a good thing that we have this, because these Mennonites that are around here all are blonde hair, blue eyes, big, tall boys, 6'1", you know, anywhere from 5'11 up to 6'5". You know, and they're very family oriented, and they have a boatload of kids, all of them, and they have them real young, and they're like multiplying around here like rabbits, little white rabbits. But yeah, a lot of them aren't vaccinated, not vaccinated, nothing. They're totally off the system, and these kids are strong, fast, and smart. And I mean, so any of this bullshit, like, yeah, sometimes, yes, one of them will step on a nail and get tetanus like once in a blue moon or something like that. There is examples, I'm sure, because they are in the hospitals once in a while for certain things. But, you know, there's, I'd say 98% of them are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. And a lot of them aren't vaccinated. So that whole thing that, you know, if you don't get vaccinated, you're going to get sick or you're going to catch something is bullshit. Okay, let me go on the news here. The Bataclan, third Bataclan attacker revealed after Islamic State Texas his mother calling son. I don't know about that whole Paris thing. Like, I'm under the assumption that, you know, the lack of physical and video evidence makes me think that it, you know, the whole event was fabricated in a certain way. I mean, if they claim what they did claim happened, like, I understand that they have the photo there of all the, you know, people who had passed away in the Bataclan and the blood and the gory scene. And then there's the one video where they're all running out the door and the one girl's hanging off the window. I mean, like, I get it. I get how that looks, but to claim like what they do claim happened that day and upwards of like 131 people died. It's like, if that happened, there would be so much cell phone footage that's leaked. There would be so many just families. Like, I know that there was pictures of the people who had died that, you know, came up on Twitter and stuff. I'm not saying that no one passed away, but to the extent that they, that they say it happened. I'm not sure. It just seems a little bit fabricated, and like some of it was hoaxed. But you know, it definitely people died, and you know, bad things happened. But to just, I don't know. Anyways, I'm gonna go move on to something else. That's my opinion on it. Anyways, Russia. Oh, here we go. Here's the good stuff. I don't know, the more and more, like, I have a hard time trusting any of these politicians. I'm just so pessimistic. I don't trust any of them. But every time I read, same thing, Putin's like almost like the Donald Trump in another world, like, except he's way better. Like, the stuff he's doing is just so great and just really makes me believe in the guy. But I'm afraid that that's the whole idea. Russia, the United States, and the United Nations will hold a three-way talk on the Syria crisis in Geneva on Friday. The UN Syria envoy, Stefan, can't pronounce that, said on Wednesday. News of the meeting was first reported by Russia's RIA news agency, citing Russian Deputy Foreign Minister. Yeah, I'm not going to pronounce that name. Can't even give it justice. Yeah, not very interesting. I guess the three of them, the Russia, US, and UN, are going to be holding talks on Syria. I mean, what are they going to talk about? You know, what are they going to talk about? Like airspace? Russia's going to say, yeah, Obama, you've been training and funding the terrorist organizations, the moderate rebels there, and all the weapons have been getting into the hands of ISIS. And, you know, we've got you on record, you know, your own military personnel speaking out about how they're dropping weapons to ISIS. You know, I can understand once, but not to the amount that they've been doing it. So, I mean, what are they going to talk about? It would be really, it'd be interesting to see what actually is said in these, you know, diplomatic talks. It'd be probably pretty mind blowing. Oh, here we go about the National Front. National Front seen losing two contested regions in France election runoffs. Yeah, not that interesting. If someone wants to call back in, I guess I'll talk to somebody. I forget that gentleman's name, but he always holds a good conversation. Or if anybody wants to call in, I'd appreciate it because I'm getting sick of hearing myself talk. I'm going to pull up Twitter. Always something interesting on Twitter. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a weird situation that we're getting into. I wanted to talk about you know, the difference between European stock. You know, like the Western stock of Europeans. I know there's been migration in and across Europe for a long period of time, and you know, so a lot of Europe has essentially blended with itself, but you still can see the difference between, you know, Slavs, and you can see the difference between, you know, Western Europeans and stuff like that. And I'm curious on, you know, I've read some of the like European heritage, like where essentially they originate from. And I don't believe this out of Africa theory. So it makes me think that, you know, they say like there's ice ages that essentially we live through. And I don't know if that has to do with our melanin or anything like that, but I would assume that makes a little bit of sense. But, you know, people in the conspiracy world try to say that white people or a certain white people came and they were off planet. You know, whether that's true or not, it's up for speculation. I don't really know, but there is definitely something about white people that is different. I mean, essentially we are Y chromosome, I would assume, is not quite I don't know, I would just say special. But then if I say special, I mean I sound like a white supremacist, so I can't be saying that. All right. Have you guys ever listened to SGT Report? I highly recommend this guy from Sean. He had David Dees on there the other day, and it was just such an organic broadcast. It was really well done. You know, this guy, you know, he talks about Zionism. He talks about, you know, World War II revisionism, not always. He's more of a financial analyst, has guys that are more financially oriented on there, but, it was just really nice. I mean, David Dees is a little bit out there. So is everybody. I mean, I, when I used to study conspiracy and stuff like that, I got into the whole, you know, Nibiru and it being on elliptical orbit and it coming into our solar system and causing chaos and hollow earth and all these, you know, wild, wild topics. But the thing is there's really not too much substance, real physical evidence. It's just people speculating on people who speculated and then more speculation on the speculation. So it's like we're just going in circles and circles and circles. But yeah, besides that, they had a really, really good discussion, and I think you guys will like it. It just shows you the difference when, you know, people are organically speaking and don't have an agenda. And yeah, sure, these two guys are making a little bit of money off what they do, but rightfully so. You know, I mean, you know, they do good work. I mean, David Deese is that political artist. I mean, some of his pictures that he does up on the computer there are just phenomenal. Like, it's funny how you have one picture that is like a thousand words. Donald Trump just tweeted 10 minutes ago, I'll discuss it with Bibi. Oh, he's going to talk to Netanyahu. That would be quite interesting. I mean, because Ashkenazi bigotry must end, Donald Trump says. That's wild. What a direct statement. He says, quote unquote, I'll discuss it with Bibi when I visit, whatever he's talking about, I'm not sure, but he says, I'll discuss it with Bibi when I visit Israel later this month because the Ashkenazi bigotry must end. Well, it's funny how he's singling out Ashkenazis there and not Sephardic. So like he's almost saying like one is more important than the other. That's a really strange tweet from Donald Trump. But yeah, clearly, you know, he's backed by the Zionists. I mean, anybody who thinks that he's just going to be, I guess the argument that people always try to make is that wouldn't you, if you were trying to get into a position of power and trying to get past these Israeli lobby groups and stuff like that, wouldn't you have to play ball? And that's the argument that people, you know, make, oh, you can't stump Trump. You know, and he's just playing ball as a Neil Cohen. He's just playing ball with these Israeli lobbyist groups so he can get into power. But I mean, I find that so hard to believe. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but when he was on Alex Jones' show, I shit you not, that time of the broadcast of the length of it was 33 minutes and 33 seconds. Like, people know when you're making YouTube videos. As, you know, roughly how to make them to end at a certain time, stuff like that's like, could you be any more obvious with these numbers? And especially now that they're saying that they're going to end, you know, Christmas in Washington after 33 years. I mean, they're just so blatantly obvious with it now. It's like, maybe, I guess, because there's so many people who don't understand the numerology that's involved. But, you know, when they say, you know, this El Chapo guy or whatever dug 33 feet out of his cell into the ground, like, do you know what it would take to dig 33 feet into the ground? Like, and they just put it on CNN, people, the masses, I can just see the sheep's like, oh yeah, you escaped from the cell or whatever. Or Ashley Madison leak, 33 million leaks. It's just like, man, they got to stop doing that because it's just so blatantly obvious now. But yeah, trying to think of what else here in the news. I want to know how you pull up on, I don't know if anyone knows this, but on Twitter, you know, if you haven't been on in like a day or anything like that, it shows you all the most important tweets that everyone you have on your list, it shows up. I want to see if there's like a button on here or like a something you can click to automatically show that up, because for some reason it just doesn't show up sometimes and it when it should. So I was just curious if that, if there's a way to automatically pull that up. But, yeah, there's some good videos. I think the guy who did that viral video of the invasion in Europe, like, this is Europa, I think he was on Red Ice Creations, if memory serves me correct. It could be someone else that did a similar video, but that was pretty wild how that went viral. 5-6 million views, I think it might be at now, maybe not quite that high, but you know, being a European in Europe right now must be pretty intense, you know, living under what's going on, especially when you would be in a town like, you know, where a lot of my ancestors originate from in Slovenia, you know, Dobova, there's a town of, I think, 400 Slovenians, and they were getting 1,700 migrants. I mean, how can they expect these small villages to cope with this amount of people? I mean, especially if there was some kind of conflict where people didn't have easy access to, you know, supermarkets and weren't able to, you know, leave their rural area. I mean, it would be pretty scary for these people, you know. But I don't know who do these politicians, like I said, we have in power are just, they're traitors. They don't care about white people's interests. And, I don't know, something needs to be done. We just need to get some kind of organic leader in place. So that's why, you know, I guess as default, Trump wins, you know, as, the best leader in the world for a country right now, Putin wins by default, you know. I heard, whether this is true or not, but they said that George Soros is now banned from Russia. I don't know if that's true. It could be. I mean, theoretically, that's what you'd want to do. You'd want to start outing some of these Zionists. But I truly wonder how many of these individuals are actually the ultimate gatekeepers, you know, that you always end with Zionism, these Zionists that run everything, but really they are, when people really figure out what's going on and the systematic depopulation of Europeans and Caucasians, and, you know, when you follow the breadcrumbs and the money trail, why it always just ends with Zionism. Is there something? I mean, you could go the David Icke route and say, oh yeah, it's reptilians or off-planet entities, people living inside the moon. Like, I mean, okay, no, but I mean, really, you know, like, I'm trying to say, is there any evidence? Like, people try to say Jesuits, but I mean, sure, there's anti-white Jesuits, but they're not nothing compared to anti-white Zionists. I mean, the Jesuits aren't even on the same ball field, aren't even in the same city. Like, I mean, they're so far off the map in comparison to how, you know, anti-white these Zionists are. I mean, I don't know, but it just makes me wonder, you know, because George Soros is so in the open. There's so many different individuals that are in the open and just are openly speaking, like, you know, Barbara Lerner Spector. Like, I mean, she literally looks like she's channeling Satan when you see her speaking. It's like, it's just so over the top. I don't know. And I guess if you were a Zionist and you were running a white genocide program, I mean, I guess at some point you would just start speaking more openly. And that's what it seems like. That's what they're starting to do. They're just saying, yeah, this is what we're doing. Yeah, we're flooding all white homelands with non-whites. Yeah, we're going to, you know, flood Europe with, you know, Middle Easterners. Yeah, we're going to give them housing and, you know, welfare. Yeah, we're doing it, whether you like it or not. And it's scary because we got white people that just cheer it on. They're like, yeah, I'm not racist. Yeah, come into my country and take everything and blah, 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 and do whatever you want as long as I'm not a racist, you know. And that shit's got to stop, because at some point people are just going to start openly, you know, doing stuff that's crazy. And we don't want that have to come to that, you know, like the crazy guy in Sweden who, you know, with the sword. I mean, like, that's not called for. Like, no one should be doing things like that. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know if that was a piece of propaganda. It's hard to say if it was or not. But, I mean, when people's livelihoods are threatened, like Paul Joseph Watson, he said that there was people calling in to InfoWars and emailing him privately and stuff like that, that saying that, you know, they're pretty much having to defend their families already. And I think, I can't remember what country he said that they were calling in from, but, you know, he's on a video saying that when he was talking to Alex Jones. And it's kind of scary, but at the same time, I mean, what do people expect if we're going to all sit around and do nothing and we're going to just, you know, pretend like, you know, the media and entertainment is the most important thing, but we're all guilty, including myself. But yeah, when it comes back to the origin, where Europeans originate from and where Caucasians originate from, I would really like to know someone who knows a lot about that topic and talk to them. Like, I'd really like to pick their brain. Because a lot of it's on old books that are now regarded racist, you know, like literature from World War II and stuff like that, where, you know, they say Caucasians originated from. And there is, like I said, that out of Africa theory, but I don't think it holds much water. I mean, it's up for speculation. I'm just going to take a quick break here, guys. I got to pull up something. Oh, I got a caller right on. Oh, I think this is the same guy as before. My bad. Hey, is that you again there, buddy? Still listening?
Yeah, I got cut off earlier and called back in.
Okay, you got nothing to comment on, eh? Because you're my only caller. You're special.
You're doing pretty good, though.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to fill a time slot for this long. I'm just talking by myself here. So what do you think of Trump?
Well, he's the best choice we have at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with you. He's the best leader for America by default. It's kind of like being the smartest kid with Down syndrome.
Really? Essentially, that's what it's coming down to. And it's sad that we have to use that analogy, but really, I don't know what else to do because, he's doing a lot of good things, I guess, getting people talking about things that they didn't really talk about before. But how about Putin? Have you heard much about Putin? What do you think of him? Do you have an opinion on him?
Well, about the same opinion, but he's much more manly, of course, than any other leader, it seems, on the world stage.
Yeah, you're right.
Any leader that we get any exposure to. What's the name of that guy that's out there in Hungary?
Yeah. I'm not sure, but I've seen that video too. I've seen that video too where he's like walking around with the big dog and they're like got the 25-foot high fences and he's like, I will not allow the Hungarians to become victims. Is that the guy you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that amazing? When I seen that, it was so refreshing. So good to see. Same with some of these rallies we had in Poland. It's just so nice to see that that natural aggression from Europeans of I'm going to do something about the situation. It's like, most people are just like, well, what am I going to do about it? And that's true. Like, what are we going to do about it? But the thing is if we openly continue to discuss this and it becomes more acceptable, then, more people will start to do things like that guy. But you're right when it comes to Putin. He's so much more manly. Like I just, it's refreshing. And I don't know if there's a lot of people who are immigrating into Russia, but I mean, he openly stated in this one conference about how white countries essentially have this problem of low birth rates and immigration. So, I mean, he's obviously aware of the issue, but to say he's going to, fix all the world's problems and he's some great person is a little bit of a stretch of the imagination. I don't know. I hope so,
Well, he's just like a breath of fresh air, After it seems, I'm only 34 years old, but, I know a little bit about history. And looking back for the past 50 years, we've had really nothing but, effeminate, simpering world leaders. There's a few bright shining examples, but mainly it's since World War II, man, the quality of leadership on the world stage has really taken a drastic downturn.
Yeah, it really has. Yeah, it has, and that's exactly like you said. When it comes to these world leaders, they just seem extremely feminine and they just seem dry. Their personalities are dry. They have no personality. It just seems like they're kind of like a machine. And that's why you see someone with Trump or you see someone with Putin with a little bit of energy and a little bit of charisma, it's just so refreshing. But yeah, it's hard to say. Well, I guess the future we'll know eventually. But what do you think we're in store for? Do you think, are you from America or is that where you're from? Down south?
Yeah, I'm from the southeastern United States. I'm from Alabama.
Oh, right on. Bama.
But, yeah, one of the things that is very attractive about the two men that we're speaking of is the fact that they do not back down from what they say and oftentimes double down on it. So that is, whether or not people consciously realize it or not, they are as a whole, humanity is attracted to strength. And the fact that these two people will stand by what they say is a symbol of strength in an environment where symbols of strength like that are very rare. So they stand above the rest of the crowd. And it's kind of like a lightning rod. They're going to attract a lot of problems, but they actually provide a very good service, you know. So I think as far as Trump goes with the white population in America, is it seems to have reinvigorated us more so than any other thing that I've witnessed in my lifetime. He says some very good things, like, and he kind of sneaks things in there. He was addressing a Jewish group not too long ago, I think in D.C., and he said, "Hey, look, man, you know, I'm just a negotiator like you people."
Yeah, where did you read that, or are you thinking of the same thing I did, where the young Turks, that guy, hate him from Young Turks, but he was talking about it. Is that where you heard it, or did you actually watch?
Him an anti, they were calling. I didn't hear it from the Young Turks. A friend of mine was telling me about an uproar of him being called anti-Semitic. But it just
that's where you heard it. I that's where it was. It's this fucking leftist, man. They're trying to pick Trump apart because they got nothing to get him for. But yeah, no, that's essentially what he was doing. He was talking in like a roundabout way, saying like, "I'm like you guys," blah blah blah. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, if anything, it seemed a little bit more like he was siding with, more like saying that he's like them. But I think that he is, you know, for Israel. I think he is pro-Israel. Someone said that he's married to an Israeli woman, and his children are, or no, maybe it's his daughter that's married to an Israeli man. But I was going to ask you, how is it down in the South? Do you think that there'll be some kind of, you know, economic, not necessarily collapse, but some kind of event where things are going to get a lot worse than they are now?
Well, I think, yes. I don't believe that there's any way around that. Eventually, the dollar will lose its position as the world reserve currency, probably be overtaken by the yuan or China. And
yeah, I think the IMF said that now. I think that the yuan is it's not essentially the reserve currency, but it's like 10% or something like that. But yeah, continue what you're saying. Do you think it's going to get bad soon, or do you think we still have quite a bit of time?
I think we have a little bit of time, but I don't think it's going to be a real sudden thing. You know what I mean? It's going to be a gradual slowdown and a gradual decline. And it won't get really bad, I don't believe, until the government actually runs out of the ability to give away the freebies that it's been that it's gotten this useless population that we're plagued with accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have a very large, diverse segment of the population that is completely and totally dependent upon the government.
Yeah. Well, that's what I heard. I mean, I've seen this, the numbers that the government gives for like something wild, like 5% unemployment, but you could just simply like run the numbers of people who are trying to get on unemployment and then factor in like all these other different things. I think it's like food stamps and different types of government assistance, and it gives you more realistic number of upwards of 20%, which is like 1 in 5 Americans aren't working, right? So
well, yeah, there's that, and there's also, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, but our government subsidizes a lot of things, and once those subsidies quit rolling in, you know, you're going to have a lot of people like at universities that are going to lose their jobs because all those useless teaching positions and faculty staff members will no longer be necessary, you know, because it can, and you know, then you'll have social workers that'll be out of a job, and then you know, people that work at these free clinics and at these damned drug treatment centers that get people referred to them from the court systems. And it'll be piecemeal too, though. There'll be sections of the country that'll be able to maintain a lot of this a lot longer than other sections. Like a predominantly black East St. Louis is not going to be able to maintain infrastructure near as long as a predominantly white Portland, Oregon.
Wow, I'm impressed how well you just broke that down, because yeah, that's essentially seems like what would happen. It would kind of be like a domino effect, because once one of those are pulled, they essentially all go one after and be able to find them. It'll be too much stress on the system at once.
Exactly. You know, and so, like I said, it'll be a gradual spiral, but once it starts, I mean, it'll be irreversible, you know, and eventually I mean, it may be several years down the road. Once the process starts, it may be several years from the beginning to the end. But it's going to get pretty damn bad.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy that I listen to all the time. I mentioned him earlier, the SGT report. And he always quotes this one thing of the Economist magazine, which is actually owned by the Rothschilds, or they part own the Economist. But it's a 1988, and the cover of it shows a new currency in 2018. And I mean, if we know anything about the Economist, I mean, they, everything that they've pretty much predicted has come true in one way or another. So I mean, I think that they're using this 2018 as a time. I'm not saying for sure, but I know that, you know, in presidential cycles and stuff like that, I mean, what, Obama's, the election's in what, November? Is it November?
Yes, the election is in November, and the inauguration is the following January.
Yeah, so I mean, we've got roughly, you know, 11 months until then. I mean, when you look at presidential cycles, period, I mean, you typically have things take place. And I know a lot of, like, 'cause I listen to a lot of economists, and they're all kind of spewing the same kind of thing, which is that whoever is the next president, he is essentially going to inherit the financial, not collapse, well, maybe the collapse, but this new system where it's, things are pretty bad and stuff like that. I always see these reports of, you know, mass movement of military, tanks and armament and different stuff like that. Do you ever see that? Like, have you ever been at a train and just seen, like, tons of tanks on the back of a train just going in one direction? I don't know. I always see these YouTube videos, and we'd never see stuff like that up here in Canada. If I seen something like that, I would think we were in it for sure. But I guess because you guys are such a military powerhouse, and your military industrial complex produces so much, I guess that might be a normal thing.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much the way it is. There's quite a bit of manufacturing actually still left in the United States. Like, all of the military equipment's made here in the United States. So you will see it being shipped from one point to the next, and you know, in various stages of completion, or, you know, being delivered to its destination or for deployment or whatever. Around me, let's see, within a 50-mile radius of me, there's like 3 National Guard bases. Within 100 miles of me, there's 2 National Guard armories, actually full-on armories. There's a Special Forces wing that's right there, right next to our airport, the Birmingham International Airport here in Birmingham, Alabama. So, yeah, the military is ubiquitous. I mean, you're liable to be in a restaurant and a whole crowd of soldiers come in and occupy the corner, you know.
No,
you're
just kidding.
Yeah, you see them all the time.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, if essentially if there is a conflict or a war that's you know, continuing over a long period of time, I mean, there's so many Americans that are involved in the manufacturing of weapons and military vehicles and so on and so forth, that they're so much a part of the system that you would almost have to be pro-war. I mean, because it keeps the economy going. No, maybe not. I don't know. They say now, because everything else, a lot of the, you know, manufacturing, not so much the military stuff, has been, you know, gone to China and gone to Mexico, and that we've become a service society, which, I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. You have to manufacture something. Everybody just can't be in service to each other. So,
That is true, but there's certain, see, that's not uniform across the country either. You know, there's certain segments of the country that are actually growing in manufacturing right now. It's small, but it is growth. Like, you know, manufacturing's dead pretty much in the Midwest, you know, the Rust Belt or whatever it is they refer to. You know, they're Detroit, Michigan, the Mahoning Valley in Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, all those areas. You know, there's no longer any tires being made in those areas, no longer any cars. But yet here in the Southeast, like in Alabama, we have four foreign automobile manufacturers. We have Honda, Mercedes, Hyundai, and Kia. We have ThyssenKrupp Elevators, which is building a a state of the art. It's a full on full service elevator making the facility. They're going to take raw materials, iron ore, limestone, and coke, and turn it into elevators from the ground up. And right now it's being built. And on a Monday morning at 7 in the morning, once all the workers are there on the job, it is the second largest job site in the Western Hemisphere. And when it gets completed, it will be the largest steel mill in the Western Hemisphere. But, you know, Texas right now, well, you know, Alabama, the state of Alabama, if we was independent and of our own, our economy would be just as large as the United Kingdom. The
No, we
would not. No, we would not. I'm speaking out of turn. We would be as large as North Korea. Now, North Korea is a sovereign nation that it has a navy and nuclear power. Alabama would be as large an economy as them. Now, Texas, if it was its own economy, it would be as large as the United Kingdom, which is that they're considered a world power, not a superpower, but a world power. Really and truly, if in the United States we could get the damn federal government off our back, there would be certain areas of the country that could do pretty good and perhaps even thrive.
Segregate. Yeah.
Have to do that because, I mean, that's the main damn problem for the downfall of both Canada and the United States or all the Western world is the fact that we have relinquished control of our areas to foreigners and strangers that just simply do not and cannot see things from our point of view or look out for our interests. They do not share them. They don't share them.
I completely agree with you. I think, it's funny because we get these guys from Texas that come up to Ontario all the time, and I'll talk to them sometime in the bar, buy them a beer or whatever. It's always different Americans, but you can usually tell who's from Texas. And I'll never forget this one time, these two guys were there, and I said, "Oh, where are you guys from?" The one guy's like, says, "I'm from Alabama, the state of Alabama." And then the other guy goes, "I'm from the country of Texas." And I think that's, that kind of gives perspective that, Texans, they, almost identify as their own people. And, there's a beauty to that. And here in Canada, the Quebec-Lacroix, they have tried to, become an independent country. And I used to think that it wasn't a good thing, but the more and more I think about it, I think things would be a lot better. And, I think you're right. I think that there is something to be said about that.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in decentralization. Texas does have a pretty strong and growing secessionist movement, Texas independence movement. It's in its infancy. Well, maybe it's been around in name for a while, but it really started growing here in the past 5 to 6 years. Across the South, there's a growing secessionist movement. One thing, the South, see, what defines a people really is shared suffering, more so than shared prosperity. And the South, unlike any other part of the United States, has an identity that's linked with shared suffering. And that being the conquest of the South by the federal government after the war between the states. Now, a lot of that has been drummed and browbeat out of the later generations, especially the past, four recent, I guess, generations.
Yeah.
But there's still a sense that we are different and more unique than the rest of the country. In our mannerisms, our cuisine, just our way of life. And it seems to me, I may be reading something into it or wishful thinking, but the young people that I meet that, like I said, I'm 34, that are, say, 30 and younger, that they seem to be more and more identifying on a local level, instead of saying identifying as a proud American, they identify more as a proud Southerner or as a proud Alabamian.
which
yeah.
I think is a better thing.
Yeah, it is a better thing, and it's funny, that's what they try to do by taking away that Confederate flag, because it's such a symbol of, and represents such a great thing, you know. And it's weird how they tried to demonize the Confederate flag. I really didn't even understand how people went along with that, and I guess people really didn't. But I mean, it really reminded me of, you know, you hearing stories about how they used to burn books and essentially try to erase the history, and you know. It seems like that's what they're trying to do. Now, I heard that they were trying to take down statues and stuff like that.
That's true. Here in Birmingham, I attended a rally in support of a statue they were trying to pull down in Birmingham. But to be honest with you, the city of Birmingham is a financial wreck. That'll never happen. I mean, but they were making a big show, so we had to answer back. Like I said, you know, a people is defined more by shared suffering, so I welcome that perverted way, because that actually,
I understand what you're saying. When I thought about it, you know, as weird as I thought it was that they were trying to take it away from you guys, I thought there's no way they're going to be able to accomplish that. Not only are they not going to be able to accomplish it, they're going to make the people who identify with that flag stronger. They're essentially going to, what it seemed like they were trying to do, erase that identity out of the Southerners. They were essentially going to make it stronger, and I think that's what it did. And that's what a lot of people say with this, you know, forced third world migration into formerly white countries. The harder they push, the faster we wake up.
Right, and that's wonderful. You know, it's similar to the gun control thing. Every time there's a mass shooting, there's a big you know, the left screams for gun control, and the right gets scared that they might succeed. So gun sales, you know, like, will quadruple. Well, that was pretty much what happened with the Confederate flag. You know, after, like, the story that Walmart was no longer going to sell them on the shelves, well, you know, whoever had them, gas stations or roadside stands or vendors, sold out the next day. So.
Artificial scarcity. That's awesome. That's such a good story. That you can apply that. You know what? That just essentially proves how fucking evil Walmart is. You know.
I know. I'm not a big fan of Walmart either. And you know, at one time that was a good Southern company. It was started by a man named Sam Walton.
I know the story.
Yeah, built it from the ground up, you know, but once it became a corporation, and their predatory practices, it's horrible.
It is really. But this, once again, I mean, it's I find it hard to not shop there. I mean, they do have good deals, but at the same time, I want to go shop at, you know, mom and pop stores, because I want to support locally, because I want to break away from the big system. But at the same time, fuck, it's so hard to not, you know, like it Walmart. With slave labor, and you know, it's they offer such a cheap product, but it's just so bad to buy it, you know.
Well, exactly. But you know, what else is the logical conclusion of a global hyper-capitalistic system? You know,
exactly.
The end result. That's the only way it can go.
Yeah, it's going to be, you go to the Walmart doctor, you go to the Walmart dentist, you can buy a Walmart car and you work for Walmart, and you know what I mean? It's crazy, because it's obviously not that bad yet, but I mean, theoretically, that's where we're going to go.
And if you notice, like, the products that you buy from a big box store, Walmart, Lowe's, or Home Depot, they're not near the quality of the products you used to be able to get from the mom and pop operations, the small hardware stores. You used to be able to go in and buy parts to repair your refrigerator, or repair your washing machine or your dryer, or things like that. You can no longer do that anymore. The quality.
Well, yeah, not only can you not do that, it's more expensive just to buy one part for your washing machine or fix one part on your dryer than it is to just replace the whole goddamn thing. Which, I mean, then you're throwing all that metal out. It's such a bad thing. But hey, listen, you know what? I'm getting away from the original topic. I want to ask you a quick question here. When it comes to, I don't know how much you've actually looked in, but you seem like a pretty smart man, and I'm enjoying talking to you. But, you know, when you look at the white race and Europeans, I mean, where do you essentially think, I mean, it's going to be hard for you to answer this question, but I mean, in a nutshell, where do you think white people essentially originated from? And I know you're not going to be able to answer that question, but if you can kind of in a roundabout way, kind of not necessarily say I don't know. I always really wonder this, like what make, you know, we're so different from all these other races and, you know, there's difference between all the different races, but you know, I wonder where we came from. You know, do you believe the out of Africa theory? Cause I sure don't.
Well, I don't know about, you know, I don't know if I buy completely into the out of Africa theory, but I believe that history shows that, and archaeology shows that the wellspring of our people was somewhere around the Black Sea area. That's where we occupied the longest or perhaps made the greatest impact.
It's really a hard question. I mean, you could ask.
No, I've heard various, like you know, you mentioned earlier that you've listened to Follow the White Rabbit and Red Eyes Creation. You know, they've had interviews with people and spoken to about the Anunnaki and that we may have been seeded here, and you know,
right.
we have all these legends of us, you know, coming from other places, and like, you know, non-white people have legends of space people that came down with blue eyes, you know, and these gods dealt with them that were fair-haired and fair-eyed. You know, I really don't know. We are different, though, than any other people on the planet in that the fact that fair skin is a recessive trait. Both parents have to have it for it to be passed on. Fair eyes is a recessive trait. Both parents have to have it for it to be passed on. Fair hair is a recessive trait. Both parents have to have it, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everything that makes us what we are to be combined in one entity like it is in us is damn near a mathematical impossibility. But here we are. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's essentially, we could be a product of a long time eugenics program. I mean, you keep on taking people with this recessive gene and you keep on breeding them together. And, you know, maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But, you know, same thing. You watch these ancient aliens and, you know, these different alternative historians, and they put their own perspective on different things. And it really makes you wonder, you know, did these people come from, you know, did the Anunnaki come and splice their genetics with, a Cro-Magnon or, different advanced primates and create a worker class? And it's the problem is I feel like we have amnesia as white people. And I think obviously other races have it to a certain degree, but we especially have it because I feel like there is a body of people out there. They know. You know, but it has to do with our Y chromosome. If you watch, Follow the White Rabbit with Horace, you know, he talks about the Y chromosome once in a while, but I think that has something to do with it. But yeah, it's just up for speculation. I always like to ask people that, like to pick people's minds about it.
Well, like I said, I'm really agnostic on it. I entertain any idea, but right now my focus is on the survival of our people because, I mean, the fact is no matter where we came from, here we are. And
yep.
we have a right to exist because we do exist.
Yes, sir.
And
exactly. Yeah.
That's my focus and that's my, that's what I hammer at home.
All right. Well, it was really nice that you, I guess I actually, I don't know how, so I guess you were just calling in and then I just clicked that button there and there you be, but that worked out really good. Really enjoyed talking to you, but I'll let you go and I'm just going to go on here for a little bit more and talk about the news and I'll probably be on back next Monday, but have a good one, brother.
What's your name?
Set.
Set. All right. Well, my name is Jeb. Jeb from Birmingham.
Oh, Jeb from Birmingham. All right, brother. Have a good one. It was really nice talking to you.
You too.
Cheers. All right, guys. So that was Jeb from Birmingham. Going to switch over to the news here. I'm just going to read a couple more things, and I'm probably going to wrap it up. 2 hours is we're about an hour and a half in right now. It's just crazy what's going on. And it's so nice to talk to different people because, you know, we always get different perspectives when we talk to people in you know, a one-on-one basis, but it gives us a kind of clear understanding of what's in other people's minds. And I always like to pick people's minds, because, you know, it always kind of corrects my narrative or the way I think my ideology about, you know, white people. But yeah, I guess like that gentleman said, I mean, it really doesn't matter where we came from or this, you know, really, because we're here now and we need to preserve what's going on. I just typed in Putin here in Google searches, and there's some pretty good headlines here. Putin raises threat of Russians' nuclear weapons against terrorists. Well, that's from the Independent. So, I mean, they're going to shine a negative light on Putin. But they're saying that he hopes that nuclear warheads will not be needed to deal with terrorists. I mean, I don't know. People really frown upon me talking about this, but I mean, the whole nuclear bomb thing, I'm not 100% sure about that. I mean, I'm sure they exist and I'm sure that they're very real, but at the same time, how powerful are they? And is there as many as they say we have? That's really the part that's up for speculation, because, you know, one country essentially always wants to one up the next country. You know, well, I've got 15 nukes. Well, I've got 75. Well, I've got 150, you know, and so on and so forth. But I mean, if they start bringing nuclear bombs into the Syrian conflict, I mean, we're going to be at a really scary place really, really fast. Yeah. And see this thing now, 7 days ago, this 150,000 troops. I mean, I keep seeing this article and it's slowly working its way from the essentially fringe of the alternative media. You're not seeing any big names put their name on it, because I think everyone's so scared to, because, I mean, some of these, you know, beforeitsnews.com or abovetopsecret.com, I mean, they're essentially just forms. Anyone can post anything, right? You know, any idiot with a keyboard can just make something up. But it seems there is some, like, a slight bit of validity to this 150,000 soldiers that are going to Syria. It's crazy if that's something that's actually going to happen, because, I mean, if you're bringing 150,000 troops to protect Bashar al-Assad, and then we already know 100% confirmed that they shot down that Turkish jet, then there obviously is some existential threat. There is something else going on that they're not telling us. And when we, like I said earlier with that news article, as much as I poo-pooed the idea of the three meeting not being a big deal, I mean, maybe the UN and United States and Russia are meeting for some unknown reason that they need to deal with. Yeah, see, Russia-Turkey tensions heating up. I mean, I keep on saying this. I would not be surprised if the conflict spills over into Turkey and then, you know, NATO essentially goes in, because Turkey's an ally Turkey's an ally of NATO. That if the conflict were in Syria to spill over into Turkey, instead of directly attacking Russia and defending Turkey, NATO would be more like on a peacekeeping mission. And I would assume that the this is pure speculation. I mean, I'm really speculating here, because I don't know any of this. But I mean, if there is some kind of idea to mass, well, obviously we know there's an idea to flood Europe with non-whites, non-Europeans, you know, give them housing, give them welfare. If they're going to do like a third and fourth and fifth wave, essentially they're going to want to push everyone in Turkey northwest. And so if a conflict in Syria does spill into Turkey, that's exactly what's going to happen, depending on how destabilized Turkey actually gets. Once again, this is all up for speculation, but we know that people on the ground in Turkey have been reporting about the sales of oil, basically the Americans handing over the oil fields to ISIS, and then, the Russians documenting actually ISIS selling oil to the Turks, and then Turkish reporters, Russia Today, Al Jazeera, a couple different names were reporting the transactions that were going on in Turkey, and they were jailed, and, you know, some of them were disappeared and whatnot and so forth. But so there's obviously something that's, you know, that is going on. Besides this, I'm really curious on what it is. I'm sure there's an expert in the area that would know a lot more about it. Just going to kind of take a look at one more thing here, and then I'm going to wrap it up tonight, guys. Really fun here being the host for Wild Card. I appreciate the two gentlemen that called in. Putin's Anti-Terrorism Alliance is a cover for destabilizing Ukraine. I don't know about that. I mean, when they say he's destabilizing Ukraine, I mean, how can anyone even with a straight face say that? I mean, we know who overthrew the Yukanovich government, who funded and paid for it, you know, essentially causing a war on Russia's doorstep, you know, and now this same individual who funded this is now banned from Russia. I mean, this isn't a coincidence. And then so to say wild statements like Putin is destabilizing Ukraine, I mean, at that point, you're just blatantly lying. Because if anything, he's trying to restabilize the area, you know, continue gas to Europe, so on and so forth. Oh, apparently Donald Trump wants to talk to Putin. That would be an interesting conversation, especially if it was allowed to be done organically. Do you imagine just Putin and Trump in the same room, just a camera and just whatever? That would be extremely interesting. I would love to see that, but I doubt that will ever happen. I mean, in theory it could, but it's hard to say. I mean, because once Trump becomes president, I mean, is he going to have as much control as he thinks he's allowed to have? You know, if you are running for president and all of a sudden you become president, is all of a sudden there a whole bunch of stuff you didn't realize was involved, or he already debriefed to everything like that? I don't know. But I would assume as soon as you become president, you realize as the president, you're just nothing but a figurehead, and you do the conferences and you show up to the meetings and you say what you're told to be said, and that's it, you know. You know, a vote by the people, he can just veto it and just write something in an executive order and just make it law. Like, that's terrifying. Like, how he wants to put people on this anti-fly list. Something like, you know, just like average Americans who are, you know, listening to whatever different YouTube videos and, you know, reading different stuff and, you know, doing different things. And all of a sudden they're put on a fly list. I don't know. I heard someone say this podcast before, whether that's true or not. I don't know, but apparently you can be put on a no-fly list. And then essentially, as soon as you're on a no-fly list, then you are, you know, not allowed to defend yourself. You're not allowed to purchase firearms. Here in Canada, we can't purchase firearms unless it's for hunting purposes. Angela Merkel, person of the year. Yeah, right, by Telegraph. I mean, how can people say things like this? Angela Merkel, the person of the year, the person who is destroying Germany and who is going to change Germany forever. Is that for person of the year? It's almost as bad as, you know, Obama getting that award. I know what it's called, but it's I'm drawing a blank. I can't remember for the life of me. But, yeah, when they gave Obama that award, it's like, if you're a good criminal and you're a good corrupt politician, we'll, you know, give you all kinds of awards and perks and bonuses. Yeah, Trudeau's bringing 25,000 refugees to Canada. Yeah, that's no surprise. And, yeah, he's increasing the debt. No surprise. Just like Daddy, just a good little puppet like Daddy. All right, guys, I don't see too much more in here. I think I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to check to see if there's any more callers before I take off. I know I didn't really talk too much about what I said I was going to talk about today. I was just kind of filling in anything, you know, but I think the European mind, essentially like a collective consciousness for the European mind, you know, is essentially a good name, you know. It's better than preparing Whitey. Is a little bit immature, but the European mind sounds pretty good. So every time I come on here, I will I'll make that the title and have a little mini title. If we get directly into what I say we're going to get into, great. If we don't and end up talking to callers all day, great, no big deal. All right, guys, but I'm going to end this episode. This is Seth the Nemesis, and have a good one, guys. Cheers.
Hello, I'm Roland Dickey from Dickey's Barbecue, and the holidays are coming.
The holidays already?
Dickey's has hams, turkey, even holiday feasts that everybody loves.
Everybody? Are they coming over again?
Pre-order a turkey or ham starting at $49.95, a turkey and dressing meal at $89.95, or a holiday feast with three homestyle sides and buttery rolls for just $109.95.
At those prices, you're gonna go out of business.
No, we're not. Pre-order today at Dickey's.com. Dickey's, we speak barbecue.